that on that day we would each hear your words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In Christ's name we pray, amen. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. Now, the Christian church in America is in decline. We've lost our influence on the culture, and we have virtually no presence in academics, and at best, we're used as dispensable pawns in politics. Now, when it comes to the decline of actual numbers of people in the pews, we see an interesting trend. Liberal denominations have suffered massive decline over the last 50 years, whereas conservative evangelical denominations have seen some growth. In the book, The Churching of America, authors Fink and Stark point out evidence showing that since the founding of America, the denominations that have embraced the social gospel or other forms of liberalism continue to experience a serious downward spiral. And are trending toward extinction. Whereas those who remain conservative continue to see growth. So on that note, preach and teach the truth of God's word, and you will see growth. Preach and teach Christianized social liberalism, and you will see decline. So you want to grow the church. I'm going to tell you how to succeed in church growth, guaranteed. Now, after reading countless books on the topics of church growth, church decline, church planting, church problems, church solutions, men in the church, youth in the church, and many other church-related issues, I've come to one very important conclusion. And this may surprise you. But the best and most relevant information concerning God's church is actually found in God's word. So on the subject of church growth, it's important to know, first, that God brings the increase. That we as individual believers, as well as we as a local congregation, must continue to grow. First, because God desires our growth, and second, because God has equipped us to grow. So let's take a look at our text, Ephesians 4. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we ought to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now notice the first part of each verse. So try to follow along here. Verse 11, and he gave. Now the entire concept of church growth begins with God. It begins first in the mind of God, and then in his action, God gave the leaders to the church for the church in order, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And notice the point, for building up the body of Christ. In other words, the church is not supposed to be left as just a collection of random believers for the purpose of singing songs, listening to messages, and giving money in order to keep the lights on. We exist to grow, to grow in our faith and obedience to God, to grow our own local church, and to grow the universal church, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. Verse 13, until we attain spiritual maturity, so that we may no longer be children, immature, floundering around doctrinally, rather, spiritually growing into Christ. And then verse 16, Christ, from whom the whole body joined together and held together, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, in this message, I'd like to point out that God has provided all we need to grow as individuals, to grow as a church, and to grow the body of Christ. We only need to be faithful to God and to faithfully do the work of the ministry. And as we grow, we only need to look to Christ, who is the measure for our spiritual maturity. And that, in the end, it is the healthy body, the healthy church, that grows according to the will of God. Are we growing? Well, fortunately, the burden for devising new methods of church growth is not on our shoulders, because God provides the means for building the church. We only provide the labor. Look at verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Notice that Paul is saying that God gave gifts of people to equip people to do the work of Christ, to build up the church of Christ. So let's start out with the fact that God gave gifts of people to the church. Now notice there are two groups of gifts of people listed here. There is the sent out group, and there is the sent in group. In other words, there are those that God sends out from his people, and there are those that God sends to his people. We see that there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Now, first, apostles. This is literally sent ones. These are those men that God sent out in order to fulfill the functions needed to build and to lead the churches, as there was not yet a mature church. The office of apostle is passed and was limited to the 12. Next, we have prophets. Now, in the Old Testament, prophets were those who were called by God to proclaim his word to God's people. And before there were kings over Israel, the prophets were shepherds of the people, leading them in the way of the Lord. And also, the office of prophet is passed. Next, we see those that directly pertain to the church today: evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Now, evangelists, those called to specifically proclaim the gospel and generally are to travel to do so. Then there are shepherds and teachers. Shepherds are pastors to tend the needs of the flock, to lead the local church, to feed, and to protect. And finally, teachers. Now, to teach is one of the functions of the pastor, but is also a separate gift from God to the church. Teachers are those whom God gifts to discern and to teach right doctrine. So typically, as primary functions, apostles and evangelists are sent out from the body of believers to those who are either not believers or are weak believers or new believers. Whereas prophets, shepherds, and teachers are sent to and for the benefit of the body of believers. So God gave gifts of people to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the church. So let's not miss the point here. Who is supposed to be doing the work of the ministry? Who in this room is supposed to be doing the work of the ministry? Us all, absolutely. Now, in First Baptist Church of Patchogue, there are two pastors, several teachers, and a few evangelists. According to the text, our purpose is to equip everybody else in the church to also do the work of the ministry. Verse 11, again, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So way back in the Old Testament, as God was calling people to himself, as he was calling prophets to prophesy, God was choosing people to do the work of the ministry. As Jesus Christ sent out apostles to proclaim the gospel to both Jews and Gentiles, to plant churches throughout the world, he chose people to do the work of the ministry. As God caused the formation of First Baptist Church of Patchogue, he called pastor after pastor, teacher after teacher throughout the years. He chose people to do the work of the ministry. If efficiency in preaching the gospel was God's goal, he would just do it all himself. Or he would at least have the angels do it. But God has instead chose people, to equip people, to build up the body of Christ by sharing the gospel with and making disciples of more people. Now, God has provided the means for building the church, and it's by God's working through you and me that he will grow his church. Now, God is doing his part. Are you and I committed to doing our part? Okay, so God provides the means for building the church. We provide the labor. Christ provides the standard for the church. We grow to meet it. Look at verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Notice the word until here. Paul is telling us that there is an end point to God's system of building up the body of Christ, this structure of pastors, evangelists, and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. There will be a point when this will no longer be necessary. So let's look at the goals here. Unity of the faith and knowledge. Now, this is not just unity in faith, whatever faith we choose to agree on, but unity in truth, the truth of the person and work of Christ and his will for mankind, the truth of the Bible. This is a like-mindedness of faith and learning that will result in spiritual maturity, which has as its continued goal Christ-likeness. But notice verse 14. Paul says regarding the importance of this unity, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. With Jesus as our example, God wants us to strive toward spiritual maturity. God calls it mature manhood. The contrast to this is to be as a child. But take note of the dangers of spiritual immaturity. Paul uses the imagery of children in turbulent waters. I get a picture of a group of children in a sailboat in the middle of an ocean. They have no knowledge of the sea, no skill in operating a sailboat, no understanding of navigation, and the boat is being thrown around aimlessly. And for all in the boat, this will most certainly end badly. Notice that the winds causing so much chaos for these immature children are winds of doctrine, human cunning and craftiness in deceitful schemes. These are all intentional obstacles to truth. These are lies of Satan brought about by wicked people. So you see, God gifts the church with pastors, teachers, and evangelists to build up and strengthen and grow the church, while at the same time, Satan sends false teachers, deceivers, and liars to destroy God's people, to keep them weak, confused, and unfaithful to God. Notice that the difference in outcome is in whether or not you are growing in faith, knowledge, and faithfulness. Now, God has gifted the church with pastors, teachers, and evangelists in order to equip each believer for the work of the ministry and for spiritual growth. He has given Christ as our Lord and Savior and as our example for maturity. We have everything we need to grow into spiritual maturity, and yet some Christians grow while others do not. Some churches grow, and likewise, others do not. The bottom line is that only the healthy body grows. Look at verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we ought to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when every part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So Paul is saying, rather than speaking out of spiritual immaturity and false doctrine, or rather than repeating the cunning and deceitful lies preached by heretics, speak the truth, and speak the truth in love. And as we speak the truth in love, we can then grow in Christ. So first, it's important to know what is meant to be in Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Starting at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the richness of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Are you in Christ? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you turned from sin? Have you turned to Christ? Paul said in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, that no one may boast. So notice we are growing up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. We as disciples of Christ are to be continually growing closer to Christ and growing up to be more like him. And as the church is the body of Christ, we are each members of that body, like fingers and toes, arms, legs. Verse 16 says that by Christ the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Remember verses 11 and 12. He gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Are all the parts of this church working properly? Paul tells us that when each part of the body is working properly, it's in this condition that Christ makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. If a child is born and does not grow, that is a sure sign that something internally is wrong. If a young boy grows to be a man but does not mature, there's something wrong. And if a follower of Christ does not continue to become more Christ-like, more loving, more serving, more faithful, something is wrong. The healthy body grows. So what is your part in the growth of the body of Christ? Are you equipping the saints? Are you being equipped? Are you growing in Christ? Are you doing the work of the ministry? Now, God had provided us with all that is needed for growth. Christ is the standard for spiritual maturity. And as the individual grows in Christ and works accordingly in the church, Christ grows the church. So as I said, I was going to tell you how to succeed in church growth, guaranteed. So here it is again in a nutshell. Principles for guaranteed church growth from Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. 1, God provides the spiritual leaders, teachers, and trainers for the church. That's the first point. The last point is Christ will make the body grow. Now, in between those two points, we see in verse 12, follow the example and teaching of the leadership of the church. Serve the church. Work to build up, to edify, and to grow the church. Be united in the faith as affirmed by the Bible. Actively pursue a greater knowledge of Christ. Grow in spiritual maturity as measured up to Christ. Discern truth from heresy. Hold to sound doctrine. Love one another and uplift each other with truth. Grow in your understanding of Christ, your relationship with Christ, and in your obedience to Christ. Submit to Christ in all things, recognizing his absolute authority over all. Work according to how Christ has equipped you, alongside and together with your brothers and sisters in the church. Make disciples according to the opportunities given you. And in love, serve and encourage your Christian brothers and sisters of the church. God has provided all we need for our own spiritual growth, for the growth of this local congregation, and for the growth of the universal church of Christ, the full body of Christ. So, do we ever see this play out in Scripture? We do. Turn to Acts chapter 2. And we will begin at verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. That sounds familiar. To the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So here's the bottom line. God wants us to grow from spiritual infancy into spiritual maturity. And he wants to use us to build up his church. He does this by equipping us to grow in the faith and understanding, and by equipping us to share his gospel with lost, dying, hell-bound people. It's not that God can't grow his church without us. It's that he wants to include us because he loves us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for you have provided for us all we need for the effective and fruitful Christian life. You have equipped us to grow in our own faith. You have equipped us to share our faith with the lost, and you have equipped us to grow together to build your church. May we truly be good and faithful servants. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now here's a principle to live by. We get the best possible results when we do things God's way.
Thank you, Pastor Jim. Please stand as we close with hymn number 275, How Firm a Foundation.